Hello and welcome to another episode of Saga's Not Going Out Club podcast with me, Lena Mishkoff. Saga's Club keeps us all connected, and I feel we've all been together under blue skies and in wonderful sunshine. Hasn't the weather been gorgeous this week? It's been so hot, I've had to dig out my collection of pink straw summer holiday hats. So there's the one I got last year in Crete on my birthday, and the one I got a couple of years ago, a bit more fuchsia, in Barbados. But oh, such happy memories. And then I came upon my black net and feather fascinator, which I wore last summer to the amazing launch day for Saga's cruise ship, Spirit of Discovery. What a happy day that was. So I've had a happy day today with all those wonderful memories and then planning future trips when perhaps we might literally be in the same boat together. My guest today knows the power of not just being together, but of singing together. He's harnessed the healing power of music and orchestrated all sorts of different people, from military wives to Invictus Games veterans, and turned them into proper choirs, and we've all seen his uplifting TV series. He's been rewarded with a BAFTA, a Christmas number one, and an OBE, and he is, of course, our favourite choir master, Gareth Malone. He very kindly gave me a call to tell me how his lockdown is going. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Nina, it's Gareth.
Gareth, how lovely to hear your voice.
Yours too, how are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. Very well indeed. And more to the point, how are you?
I'm pretty well.
Excellent. Now, where are you at this moment? What are your surroundings? Are you in your music room that we see on the Great British Chorus?
Yes, I am. I'm in the cave.
And where is the cave situated in your... Is it in your house?
No, it's at the bottom of the garden. When we moved in, there was a picturesque Wendy house shed at the end of the garden that I thought would make a perfect studio, and I had somebody around, some people who build studios, and they said, they took one look at it and said, no, you need to take the whole thing down.
I wanted to
cry because it was beautiful. It had a lovely roof, but it was just made of plywood. It looked great, but it wasn't solid. So we ripped the thing out, and the whole thing took about a year. More actually. We had to dig meter deep foundations, planning permission, the whole bit. It was very intense. But it's done now, and it's wonderful. It's much better than the old one, so I'm happy.
So it's a very, very glorified man shed.
I mean, it really is. It really is. Everyone needs their space, women included. But I do need, you know, I make noise. It's actually, a lot of people say, yes, it's so that you don't disturb the neighbours. It's much more the other way around, because it's amazing how much noise people make with vacuum cleaners, kids shouting, because it's situated right next to the next door neighbour's trampoline. they are at liberty to be on the trampoline, but I can't hear them at all in here, which is great. But also, until recently, planes. Planes are the bane of my life. Because they just create this low rumble. In my old studio, I had to stop doing anything. I couldn't hear a thing until the plane had gone over, and that was just one every minute. So it was very frustrating. So that's one of the things I'm enjoying most about lockdown, is that there are no planes.
Yes, so that's one of the positives. Are there other positives for you?
Yes, I mean, I've had a lot of time with my family. I don't think I will ever regret that, you know, because we have a very young... She's 16 months now, and we've spent so much time, you know, so that's really lovely, you know, just not having to go off to childminders or any of that, that we're just at home with us, which is really lovely. So, yeah, I won't regret this time. I've also been doing bike rides every day with my kids, with the older two, and that's amazing, you know, getting out every single day, training them on the roads, because the roads in London have been, you know, although they've actually built up a lot now, but there was a blissful period of about the first 2 weeks of lockdown. I bought a bike really early on. My kids already had them. And we just went round the streets And it was amazing. It was just completely silent. And it meant we could avoid, you know, we could avoid people and get some exercise. Yeah, and also, as hard as it is at times to manage being at home and working, it's quite nice now and again to just have these little reminders. You know, I can see I'll be working away at the studio and I just see this little figure toddling towards me. And it's just a little reminder that work is not everything. I'm very lucky because I have this job where sometimes I'm away and that's not so great. You know, I can be away for long periods and that's really, you know, it's hard for anyone to be away from their family. But I do have periods of being at home. This is the longest I think I've ever gone of just being at home. I've been at home since December the 12th. I have taken time out before, but this is the longest period I've had of just being at home and not going out and doing anything. It's really quite, I don't know what it'll be like to if it's institutionalised.
I think we're all a bit worried about that. You say you've been at home since December the 12th, but since pretty much lockdown started, you have been working ridiculously hard.
Yes. I mean,
on a daily basis, you know, weekdays, 5:30, there you are live on YouTube with the Great British Home Chorus. Tell me about that.
It has been really great because it's given me shape. It's given us all shape to our day, because there's been a hard deadline. I have to come out here at about 5:10 and get ready for broadcast and you know, bits of planning and all the rest of it.
And interrupt you and say, isn't it fabulous? No hair and makeup, nothing like that, just straight in.
Do you know what? No, because I miss those people. I miss the green room. I miss the support you get from the director and the runners and the people who you don't see on screen. You know, I think I take those for granted a lot, actually. Just the little conversations that you have in preparation. And in those early weeks, I really struggled to get my head into the game and then feel like I was broadcasting to the world. And I've actually got very used to that. I've had to change my private space into a public one. And that was very, very strange, sort of change mode. But no, it's been great. It's given me a purpose. It's given me this wonderful feedback. You know, I'm getting extraordinary feedback from people, and that's really nice. And ten weeks I've been doing it.
It's amazing because, you know, you are very comfortable with it, and you just, you know, with all the technology glitches which you must have, which must be an absolute nightmare, you just carry on regardless, and it's very calm and comforting apart from anything else.
Oh, thanks.
So the actual course, how does it work? How do people join? What happens?
People sign up and then they get the emails to tell them where to go, and they get the sheet music, and they get little links to YouTube so they can get the backing tracks that they can sing along to in their separate parts. So all the materials are there. And it operates sort of like a broadcast, except that you can post comments. So I'm seeing comments come in, and it's a bit more two-way. And as I've gone on, I've got a lot better. My lovely assistant, Jill, with a G, has been reading through the comments and then sending me questions live. So people are asking about Bar 59, all of those sorts of things. And so that's quite interesting for me as a kind of old fashioned broadcaster, somebody who, you know, is used to just sort of reading the comments afterwards. It's quite interesting to be in that space. It's more akin to radio, but it isn't radio. I've had to sort of learn the rules of YouTube, which has been fascinating. But as far as choir goes, I feel like it suits the kind of person who has always thought about being in a choir or has been in a choir and understands how choir works. I think if you've never been in choir, then it might not feel like a real choir, and it isn't a real choir because you aren't next to the person, other people in your parts, and you can't hear the harmony in quite the same way. But so what I've done to kind of approximate that is I've sung all the parts onto the computer and I play that back, so you are at least singing alongside me and in a sort of choir of Gareth's, and then you, when you feel ready, you submit your your audio and we're stitching them all together. And we've taken our time with that because there was a great rush. I mean, it has been amazing, sort of outpouring. You know, everyone's done an online choir. I just can't believe, you know, how many people. It used to just be Eric Whittaker. And now there's just this plethora of people doing songs with their school because the technology is easy to use. So, yeah, we've taken our time because actually I realised quite early on this whole period is entirely about process. It's just about the regularity of rehearsals and something to focus on. You know, we can't get together at the moment for a big performance. And I think there might be a day when we all come out of lockdown and the Great British Home Chorus comes together and performs or has a big sing-along or something. But it's not now. And it's for me, I've been much more interested in just being there and having people hang out with me in my home space. I think that's actually what I've realised YouTube Live is about. It's about being with someone that you can't be with because of, you know, geography or they're, you know, somebody famous or whatever. I don't know. I find those online videos of people all singing together are brilliant and amazing and clever, and they're great to watch, but they don't feel like a choir does. What feels more like a choir to me is me telling you, no, this is what you write. This is what you do in bar 55. Anyway, that's my theory.
I think it's the regular connection, and that's the warmth and the sort of the inclusivity of it. Yes, and you also had guests. I remember I saw Kristen Scott Thomas and Sharon Horgan. Kristen Scott Thomas, I think, was sitting on her bedroom carpet, wasn't she?
She looked like she was in bed.
But of course, yes, of course they starred in Military Wives, which was. Right. A kind of reimagining of your great triumph, as it were, in 2012. But of course, that the film, you know, you're not in the story in the film. But
I like to say that they split me into two, and you've got kind of both sides of my personality: Sharon Horgan and Kristen Scott Thomas. you've got the uptight choir master and the dangerous wannabe rock star guitarist.
Oh, I hadn't realised there was that side to you, Gareth. I'm sorry, I've missed that.
In the back of shot, there's always a carefully placed electric guitar just to remind everyone that I'm not just interested in choirs.
The Military Wives was one thing, but you've done so many brilliant...
Oh, we've had loads of guests. I mean, we had the music director of Hamilton, we've had my mate Mark DeLissa, who's, you know, we've had like choir directors, and actually, the ones that have gone down best are the musicians. And I, you know, sometimes, you know, as Kristen Scott Thomas is talking, people are very rudely saying, "Stop talking, we're here to sing." So I've actually moved it in the direction of having guests that can. We had Tom Chaplin from Keane, who's just delightful, and he spoke really beautifully about the song. And I think people really were tuning in, are tuning in for that musical. They're tuning in for both two things, you know, a bit of moral support and some, you know, seeing me talk through the situation. I think there's a sort of bit of a music therapy about it, but it's also just simply like we want to have a really good thing. And I always call my parents straight after the broadcast, and they always look quite buoyant, you know, we've had a really good thing. And I don't think it needs to be long. I'm a great advocate of little and often in any activity, and I think that's what people are getting. It's just like, I just dip into that, I feel a little bit better, and then you come back to the next thing and think, oh yes, I've learned that bit. I think all of that's really, really, really positive. I think what's been interesting about this experience is that this is the most particularly personal for me, because I'm in this situation too. So we're together making it. And I think people have really sensed that, you know, that there have been times when I've been sort of on the verge of tears. There's been times when I thought, you know, I had a cough on for a day and I thought I was going down with coronavirus. There have been times when the technology's failed, you know, or the pressures of life at the moment have kind of encroached on choir. And I think everyone's lived through that with me. And that's different. I mean, obviously, I'm always on a, you know, whenever I do my television projects, there's always a sort of element of challenge to it. But it's like a kind of, it's like somebody setting themselves, let's walk up Everest, or, you know, I don't have to do them. But it's felt like this one, I really sort of needed to do it. So that's been quite different, because it feels like I'm putting a bit more of myself out there than I might ordinarily, because you're in my space and you're in my house.
Gareth, I think I called you, I said in the nicest possible way, you're a bit of a bossy boots, because you take charge of situations, and you always have done, I gather.
Yes, it's true. I do, like, I always have a really strong idea of how I think that things ought to be. I'm not the sort of person who goes, whatever. I just, whatever isn't really in my vocabulary. I'm just kind of like, I'm very particular, I think.
But even as a child, you were particular.
Yeah, I always had. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I always had a vision, and I think as a child, I found it very frustrating that I couldn't get other people to go with my way, and I've had to sort of slowly learn techniques or get myself into a position where I can run things. It's what I call my mother's right voice.
Give us a full blast.
My mum will go, now. Just I was like, right! And you know immediately that, like, it's time to listen because there's an instruction coming. And I've got exactly the same thing. Like, right, okay, everyone, this is what we're going to do now. I think I definitely get that from my mum. My mum has that in spades. She's just got that sort of personal authority. I don't know where she gets it from, but she's got exactly the same thing. She didn't use it professionally. She used it in her family life, whereas I've turned it into a sort of job.
Being at home with the kids must be lovely. They're what? They're ten and
so nine. 9 3/4, and Bertie's just on 7, and Tor is 16 months.
I mean, you'd always wanted a family. I mean, you were very close to your grandparents, and family, I think, means a lot to you.
Yeah, and I'm very, you know, I speak to my parents twice a day, at least, and actually more at the moment, and because of their, so, you know, they're completely locked down, and my dad got the letter at the beginning saying, you know, don't go out at all for 3 months. And actually, they've revised that, having looked more carefully at his medical notes. And his health issue is not related to breath or breathing. So I think they were, you know, that was really good. But for the first four or five weeks of lockdown, maybe even more, maybe even six, they were completely locked down, and they'd been locked down since before the announcement. So they've needed a lot of support. Yeah, so family is, yeah, very important to me, and it got me through, really.
Right, exactly. I mean, and I think you were quite unusual in that, even when you were still a teenager, you'd said you wanted children.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I do have a vivid memory of being at university, and I must have been in my second year, third year at university, and having that conversation with someone, and just going, I'll definitely have kids, of course.
How did you actually meet Becky? How did you two get together?
We met at a friend's party, and 17 years ago.
Was it sort of one of those slow burns, or was it sort of instant?
No, it was really instant. Yeah, it was kind of immediate. I just walked up and said hello, and that was literally it, and then we just spoke the rest of the night, and then, you know, numbers were exchanged, and then dates and going places, but within a year we were living together, and we got married 5 years later. So we had sort of 5 years of doing things I think the nice thing for me with Becky is that she was just going to do her master's. I was just going to the academy when we met.
Royal Academy.
So, yeah, Royal Academy of Music. And we went right through that that whole period of like grit and hard work and, you know, no money and all of that. And, you know, living in a tiny little shoebox. And then we, you know, kept getting through that. And then the whole of the start of our working lives and her PGCE and me starting TV, but in a kind of not really knowing how it's going to go. All of those sorts of things. So we've been through all of that together, which is really nice. And now that we're in this situation, we've been round the block a bit, I guess, together. We're both very determined people, I would say.
Oh, does that cause problems?
Not really, no. But we're both, like, this lockdown, I think it's taken people in all sorts of ways, hasn't it? I heard Gary Barlow was watching a thing that he did, and he was talking about the fact that here we are in lockdown, and within about 3 days, he had people calling him demanding, you know, wanting this and wanting that, and he got himself into that situation. And I've done exactly the same thing. You know, I had an opportunity to just sort of sit around for 3 months and take it easy, and I found myself a project within about, you know, 4 hours of realizing that this was going to happen. And Becky's exactly the same. You know, we just sort of thrown ourselves into, like, right, well, we will, you know, we will ace homeschooling, we will ace parenting, we will do the garden, we will make sure the house, you know, we will blitz the house, we will do all of these things. And I think that's very us. It's just to sort of go at things hammer and tongs.
I understand you're being filmed. Are they making a series out of
yeah,
your lockdown?
Yeah, that's right. So my room is completely wired. I've got one of those cameras that can be operated remotely. I've got, so how many cameras are there? One that's really clever. It's just an iPhone, but it's got this amazing piece of software where it's an iPhone 11, and you can just do amazing shots with it. So I've got cameras in here. It's all done via the internet, so they can watch me remotely.
Oh, a bit like Big Brother.
It is. I know how to switch it off, though, so that's quite nice.
Good. Are they filming?
Yeah, get that on, Big Brother.
Are they filming you now?
No, I'm not. I'm off today. So today I'm just doing preparations. I'm doing it's a series of the choir called The Choir Britain in Lockdown, and we are into our just started our third week of filming. It's going really well, and I'm enjoying. It's an extension of the Great British Home Chorus, but slightly different because it's, you know, it's for TV.
Are you optimistic about this current situation?
All this too shall pass has been my kind of mantra. I am an optimistic person, and I do always kind of think, right, you know, like, I mean, if I'm in the doldrums, I'm looking for a way through. I had a conversation with Mary Beard this week because I was on her...
Oh, there's posh.
I know, right? I was on her BBC Two programme about the lockdown culture, and she said the songs that you're choosing are very sort of slightly nostalgic, slightly kind of soothing, and she said, you know, don't you want to challenge people a bit more? And I said, not really, no. I actually don't, like, not right now. I feel like challenge is not where people need to be at the moment, you know. I think people do want soothing and things that are familiar or comfortable or gently, you know, like a new challenge. But, you know, like, for me, the challenge has been the garden. You know, I've absolutely thrown myself into getting our garden was like we'd had builders in, you know, the lawn was destroyed and the brambles had grown up and all of that, and it became like, I don't know, it was the right kind of challenge. It was a soothing, comfortable kind of challenge, and I think the Great British Home Chorus is the same for many people. It's not threatening, it's not taking you anywhere where you're really going to be in a, you know, terrified, but you might just feel like you've stretched yourself a bit. I think that's what people need at the moment.
What book are you reading, or what book would you turn to? And these are all questions about things that would cheer or comfort or inspire.
Well, I've got two books for you, and neither of them are fiction, I'm afraid to say. One of them is Meat by Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall.
Wow, really?
Which I absolutely love because it's a vision of the perfect Sunday lunch. and how to make it. But it's a kind of it's quite kind of prosaic. It's not just a cookbook. I think it's got a great way, but it's also a technical book, and I love a technical book. I love a kind of instruction manual where you can look things up, and I really like that. And the other one is the Well Tempered Clavier by Bach, which I cannot play, but I am slow. It's my life's goal. I'm hoping that when I'm 80, I can just get through the whole thing. But that for me, that really, like, that is. I've been finding the music of Bach. Actually, that was one of the questions, wasn't it?
Yeah. But,
it's the next one. The music of Bach is like the absolute sort of benchmark of how to get through tough times. He lost. He had like 20 children or something like that,
and
they didn't all survive. Many of them didn't survive to being adults. And you think, you know, here we are, sort of going, you know, my freedom is curtailed, or I've lost one significant person. You know, that in those times they really struggled, and yet he wrote that incredible, you know, and probably as a result wrote the most incredibly soulful, beautiful music. So Bach has been getting me through.
Any pop music at all?
Yes, definitely. I love the music of Bon Iver. Just the production of Bon Iver. I really like. I'm Radiohead. I like that, but it's not very optimistic. I quite like to wallow, and then come. It's like a purgative for me. But if I want, I do put on Uptown Funk with the kids if we want to, you know.
And you dance.
If we want to have a little dance,
yeah, good.
If we can get the kids' wretched CDs off.
What's your best exercise or keep fit tip? I know that you must be missing your swimming.
I'm really missing swimming. I'm really missing, just being able to roam. But I bought a bike, so yeah. I mean that's been amazing. Just like my tip, I mean, I don't know, just do it regularly. Like little and often, like anything. I did gardening as well. Like I've done properly, dug up the, you know, digging up roots has been amazing for the back.
Very good. Now, what film or TV is guaranteed to make you laugh?
My favourite thing of recent years that really makes me chuckle is Atlanta, Donald Glover's series. I absolutely love that series.
Great. So, Gareth, finally summing up, what is your greatest comfort during this time?
I mean, really, the studio for me, just having a home studio is I just feel so lucky. There's so many musicians who aren't able to make music at the moment in quite the same way. Or, you know, you're stuck in a flat and you can't play the trumpet because it'll disturb the neighbours. So I feel very, very lucky to have a home studio.
Brilliant.
You know, a really good quality.
Well, Gareth, thank you so much for speaking to me.
My pleasure, Nina.
And long may the choir continue. Thank you so much for bringing us something on a, you know, on a daily basis that brings us all together.
Not at all.
You take care.
Thanks.
Gareth.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. What a lovely man. My thanks to Gareth for the call, and for more information on how to join the Great British Home Chorus, visit decca.com/Great British Chorus, all one word. His Great British Home Chorus EP will be released in July on Decca. My thanks, as always, to my producer, Lucy Ditchmont, and to Edwin Pearson for the music. And my thanks to Grant for pretending that the outfit I've been wearing on the balcony all day is perfectly normal. It's swimsuit, sarong, and fascinator. Gosh, it's made me happy.